He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to Friday morning, everyone. This is the October 9th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And I'm Barry Kite, planner and analyst here at Gunderson Capital Management, sitting in for Captain Bill Gunderson today. And we're also joined by Paul, our Paul Carlson, our bond portfolio manager. Thank you for helping me out, Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourself, sir?
Very good. Beautiful day in Mount Pleasant here.
Great. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess like the rest of the markets and kind of rest of the world, we're in a hurry up and wait mode. So pretty much, this week, you know, whether it's today and kind of the week for that matter, we've kind of been waiting to hear about stimulus, kind of those negotiations as they go. And, you know, so that's what markets are waiting for. It's what, you know, those Americans and small business owners impacted the most financially by the COVID-19 pandemic and hopes for stimulus, right? And while we've got the Secretary Mnuchin and Speaker Pelosi meeting, you know, a lot of that information keeps coming back and forth, but we wait, the world waits, you know, but
I saw the Chicago Fed Evans. He mentioned yesterday that they could provide more accommodation. So would that be, with the quantitative easing, right? So would that be QE6, Barry, or did you lose count here?
Yeah, I definitely lost count. I think it was interesting because I think this week, you know, kind of the narrative changed a bit too, because you had, the Fed essentially, telling government that they need some type of fiscal stimulus, can't just be
monetary
driven,
yeah.
Right? And so and that's where you kind of get into the whole adage of the Fed's supposed to be non-political, all that aspect. But in reality, I think everybody knows we need some form, right? It's just how to go about getting it done. And these are big numbers, so pushing them through very quickly, right? Which is what you do. You know, we did the first time around. You kind of just had to do it. Same thing happened a lot of, in 2008-2009 whenever Lehman fell. So you've got to do something. It's just, trying to get it all coordinated, and certainly doing it so close, or even in an election year, and certainly so close to one.
They're talking about standalone relief just for the airline industry, I guess.
Yeah.
That's another thing that's on the table.
Right. Yeah. And in all that, I mean, all those kind of piece by piece, I mean, to me, it, makes sense, right? I mean, you've got, one of the easiest to get it out there quickly, right, is the argument to, just get, another 1,200, right, for as many people who, that will get it. That gets out there quickly, gets into the system. We saw that, kind of come through from some of the consumer spending numbers and, in the second quarter. That's a main piece, getting it there quickly. That's going to be more, should be in more in line along the, at least get a little bit of the Democratic agenda, filled out in terms of, that piece. And then also there's additions, they want some, additions for airlines, like you said, and the additional PPE loans. So you're helping small business there, which is, going to lean more towards a, kind of a Republican side of the aisle issue. And so you're going to get, it just depends on how big and, how expansive it is. But I'm with you kind of pinpointing certainly, help for the airlines, right? I mean, it's a public good. You don't want to,
to pick winners and losers, but you're right. It's a public good. So that's important to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, I always think of, kind of the way Amtrak went, right? And so you have, you kind of don't want, like it or not, I mean, it's just one mode of transportation. It also, you know, suited more for freight than it is, you know, nowadays, at least in our current system for public transport overall.
But, I could talk for days about Amtrak, so let's not go there.
Yeah, yeah. So in
good,
other
good
words,
and bad. Good,
yeah,
good and bad.
Right. Yeah. And same thing with airlines, right?
True.
But, you know, but it is certainly is a public good there, and you need to, you've got to keep them in business, right? You don't want to, you know, reward bad business, but, you know, mm-hmm. I think everybody gets the cyclical nature and what they're facing. So, you know, I think if you took a poll, I don't think any, you know, it'd be hard to raise your hand and be like, you know, don't save the airlines, right? You know, especially if we don't tell you which one we're saving.
True.
So,
yeah. So should we look at the markets? Or?
Yeah. Let's see. You know, like I said, the world's kind of been on hold a bit. Certainly the Asian markets were earlier, you know, when I looked at them late last night and then early this morning. But, yeah, give us an update if you don't mind, Paul. I know Europe's kind of even more along the lines, a little bit more optimistic, it looks like, in terms of stimulus, or at least was.
That's right, because Japan was down like a tenth of a percent, the Nikkei 250. Hong Kong down a third of a percent. China, though, was up 1.75%. And then the rest of the globe kind of higher. So you got India up 3/4. The London FTSE up 3/4, Paris CAC 40 up a third of a percent, and Frankfurt up a tenth of a percent. So global market's looking pretty good. The dollar weaker, though, and that kind of ties back to probably what Evans was saying yesterday about quantitative easing. I see the dollar index down about a half a percent to 93.25.
Yeah,
and
well,
if you remember
we'll get,
back.
We'll get into that here, too, as well.
Yeah, as recent as March, it was over 100. So the euro's up, you know, it's up 0.25% to 1.18. And we've got domestic markets, S&P 3,461, up 14 points. That's about a half a percent. The Dow 30 is up 50 points, 28,475. NASDAQ up 0.75%. 11,501. That's up 81.20. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, we're up. Wow, almost a full percent, about 14 points at 16.43. And and then we have the all important 10-year Treasury, up to 7.7687 on the yield. So that's been moving a little bit higher.
Yeah, gold
ties
gold
in with
to
the
be
gold
making a
good
move too.
Yeah, up $30 at 19.25, and
yeah,
silver
almost,
up 65 cents,
yeah,
24.50.
1.8% almost. So yeah, and it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So and we'll get into crude oil too. You know, some of the effects of Hurricane Delta out there, but that's actually down today. About 41 basis points, and it had they had some good gains yesterday in regards to some of that. In regards to the storm out there, but. Thanks for the update. Of course, dominating the discussion, a buzzword, this week was certainly the word stimulus. I actually looked up the definition on Google today. You need to put stimulus definition. Otherwise, you're just going to get, you know, all everything you've seen on the news probably, because it's all dominated by U.S. stimulus talk if you just type in stimulus. But you know, I think the important thing is, you know, why are we, you know. Stimulus by itself isn't, sometimes you get, you know, from 08, 09, you get kind of a bad connotation. You've got the bailout of Wall Street over Main Street. So, you know, stimulus, you get varying degrees of thoughts in terms of reaction to it. So I think it's important, and we'll, you know, probably dive into it a little bit more, in the second segment. But, you know, in terms of definition, right, stimulus is a thing or event that evokes a specific functional reaction. So, you know, we've had a COVID pandemic, GDP, all your economic metrics have declined around the globe. And so, you know, your response to that, right, is, you know, response to that stimulus or stimuli is the, is adding fiscal stimulus and monetary stimulus to the system. And that's, you know, if you follow some of the, you know, a lot of the indices, right, that's going to be highly correlated over this time.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
And so that's...
In fact, who's been stimulated as well is the insurers, because I was reading an article just this morning about how they're exceeding the profit limits that were set in the Affordable Care Act, or otherwise known as Obamacare. And they actually have to send checks out. And, in fact, my wife received her check yesterday.
We got one 2 days ago.
Excessive profits.
Yeah. Yep, I had to go back to my old health insurance, textbooks and figure out the rebates. They can only they've got to spend at least 20%. I think it is of the ratio of what they bring in. So it just goes to show you, like, not having those, a lot of those elective surgeries ending made a huge difference. But right, well, we're just getting started here. This morning on the Friday edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, Paul and I will be right back to get into the second quarter. Welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is the October 9th live edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And, Paul, are you there with us?
I am.
How are you doing, Barry? Doing great. Mm-hmm. Yep, we're sitting in here for Bill Gunderson today. Hopefully he's getting a quick restored on the newsletter. I know there's a lot of stuff. We've added a number of sections. I guess probably, what, maybe since
it's a great
June
tool.
Poll, I think.
So
we've got the election info in there, and been always trying to improve and refine and put some things in different ways to make it make it stick sometimes. So we can, saying the same thing three different ways, helps usually.
More user friendly. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we all kind of learn in different ways, and things kind of stick in our brains
That's true.
All different ways. So
you can check that out at GundersonCapital.com. You can sign up there for a free trial.
Yeah,
comes out every week.
Yeah, check it out. Yep, we put a lot of time into it, and it's a good it's actually a good exercise for us. And Bill just. Keeping up with the markets, and a lot of times where you when you're in the middle, in the midst of battle, if you will, and then on Friday afternoon or step back Saturday morning and kind of look back and see
reflect on the week.
Look at the wake behind you, if you will. So hopefully in Bill's case doing it on a boat or something on Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I know. If it's not in front of a chart, it's in front of that.
Which chart?
Yeah. So, yep. And keyword is stimulus, I guess, for the week. And we're all waiting on that. The world's waiting on that. And as Paul hit, Asia was pretty much flat. Japan, very flat for the day. Certainly, considering all the volatility we've had in the world as well, I will say kind of along those lines, just the need and the reason for stimulus, and we can all apply it in different ways and from a legislative standpoint, but the fact is that you need some form of it, right? Certainly, where we're at now. And one of those examples here is looks like the UK. GDP slowed 2.1%. Missed estimates. I think what they were. Let's see. Yeah, the estimate was was a rise of 4.6%. So
big mess.
Yeah. So I mean, and as we said, these economic numbers are kind of tough to tough to put in context in these times. But as we get further and further from that, initial shock in March and those, initial basically full quarantines around the globe, right?
Like Israel. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, the economic data should become, get closer and closer back to where, we can gather a little bit more information from it versus, you know, kind of how it's been just a bit of a crapshoot the last quarter or two, certainly from the economic overall data.
Well, yeah, I heard that Regeneron is seeking, you know, emergency fast track approval from the FDA. So maybe we'll see a vaccine here shortly. So
yeah, and there's a, you know, and I think that's, you know, and that's another, you know, response to stimuli, right? And that's pretty, you know, kind of the theme for today. You know, when you look, when you look at it from a, from a coronavirus standpoint, right? You've got these, you know, long-term secular changes that are occurring, and will probably stick, you know, regardless of a vaccine, you know, tomorrow or, a year, 6 months from now, right? Or, in Regeneron's case, right, the, you know, essentially the treatment of it. So, you're not going to, you won't have the mortality rate. But, you know, in doing that, and we've written a lot about it recently, certainly it's been a theme of a majority of the Seeking Alpha articles that we've written, is just, you know, these changes and a lot of this growth that we saw maybe would have occurred over a five-year period, all that, you know, a lot of that growth.
Compressed.
Yeah. Coming much earlier. And coming much earlier, right, you're from a, you know, time value of money standpoint, right, it makes that that income stream more valuable. So there's a lot of I think effects that are going to last beyond, beyond just, you know, another thing beyond this election and beyond, beyond an actual
COVID. Yeah.
And so in doing that, you know, it's kind of interesting. And when looking at kind of cause and effect, right, and kind of looking what's the outcome on, which is what we normally do. It's just, you know, having in this is more. In most industries, right, there's always a few variables, and they vary across industries that, you know, will play a big factor into the valuation of those underlying stocks that are in it. And, you know, sure. Coronavirus is essentially something that's pretty much affected, you know, industries across the board in terms of, you know, a stimulus.
Some positive, like our Teladoc. And,
right,
you know,
yeah. And then others, yeah. Then others negatively, you know, predominantly, you know, just easily seen in your airline. You know, cruise names, right? And so, we're looking at.
And I think Barry, if I may, you know, we talked to prospects and clients, and they're concerned about the election. But in reality, regardless of who wins, there are sectors that, you know, will do better, you know, and have opportunity for investment going forward, regardless. You know, and so I find that to be kind of a similar, you know. What do you call it? Analogy, right?
Yeah, and you know, and you can take something like a stance on taxes, right? So, you know, repealing, you know, the current tax cuts, you know, as soon as in office, right? And that's something you can measure, you know, from a mathematical analyst standpoint, right? But you know, my thing on, you know, from politicians in general, right? Everyone's taking money from, you know, businesses, industry. It's just, you know, frankly, it's usually just different industries, right? And those industries have changed over the years.
And I think that might be why we're seeing solar stocks and that whole, you know, sector just on fire.
Right.
You know, and the electric vehicles and all that, you know. Yeah.
And it's a pure play.
There's always places to make money, and it's always a good time to invest. So, you know, we have a lot of people that are like, well, I want to go to, you know, I want to be in cash until after the election. Well, I can't make a decision. But in reality, I especially with an active, you know, unconstrained manager like Bill, I mean, every day's a good day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and we're postured from the standpoint of, from a firm standpoint, holding a decent amount of cash because, you know, for that very reason. So, you're able to make those stock specific moves and also still maintain a good cash position. You know, in the event that, you know, because there's lots of reasons that potentially the market could drop, you know, either way after an election. I mean, it's, you know, there's many different factors, certainly, you know, the election being one of them. But, you know, there's in the other key, if I heard. You know,
and there's always uncertainty, by the way.
And there still has to be stimulus. So the other thing is the market's been following stimulus. That has been very correlated to that. And so, you know, whether it's, Republican or Democrats in power completely, right, you've got. You're going to need stimulus regardless, and the world needs stimulus. So, well, they've got to figure out how to get there. But you know, regardless, we need it. So, we'll dive into some stock specific news here in the third quarter, coming right up for the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. And welcome back to the second half of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour. I'm your host, Barry Kite, sitting in for Bill Gunderson. And I have Paul Carlson with us.
Bond Hello, Portfolio happy Manager. Friday.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right. And yeah, bond from a bond perspective, things have been pretty interesting, huh?
Even yet another nice week. Yeah, up 50 basis points on our portfolio. Year to date, up 7.2%.
Yeah, I've seen
total return.
Yeah, you continually see appetite for notes out there.
It's just, that, yeah.
Some of it surprises me, both on the and some of the low yields, and then some of the deals that are going off at higher yields. You know, I kind of feel like they should be much higher. So it's
almost like the Treasury is funding the lower quality debt in some way. It seems like that spread is coming together, yeah. And I don't know if it should. But, yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's kind of some things that we've been kind of thinking about, and a lot of it kind of stems from, putting together and just thinking a lot of our portfolio in a post coronavirus kind of COVID context.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And
yeah.
And looking at that, and a lot of the news stories, I've kind of think of that within the back of my mind lately, from an analyst perspective, and we kind of picked out some. There's a lot of stories actually today that kind of skew that way, in terms of stock specific news. Warner Media, mm-hmm. they're going to cut up to 20% of their workforce. That's going to affect channels like HBO, content and TBS, TNT, right? And so, doing so, you're going to have potentially less content, even though we're all, kind of going online, right, to get our to get our content. There's a chance that some of that that content's either going to, maybe not decrease, but the quality of it may. So.
I think we have seen that, but
yeah,
in my opinion.
Or it'll be regurgitated, right, in a different form of fashion. Mm-hmm. I just think the entertainment industry has been a very interesting, kind of market to mm-hmm. watch, because it's very apparent. So a lot of markets you might have, a bunch of different market influences, right? So it's hard to figure out which particular variable is, having the outsized impact. But mm-hmm. I think the entertainment industry, specifically the, it's movie theater business, right? Because if you take a movie theater, right, you're incorporating everything. You don't have to incorporate, for flying, you've got to incorporate business travel, right, which is down. So then that's going to, that affects that, piece of the business. But, the movie theater, right, it's gotten more and more expensive over the years, but it's still, something you can do, right down the road, right? You don't have to plan ahead like you would for, some kind of cross-country trip. That whole market is in flux, right? I mean, you've got the CEO of AMC who's been very, AMC who's been very outspoken, right? Talking about, getting safety and when to bring people back to the theaters. And I think one of them just announced, I think it was yesterday, I saw a piece on it where, they're, basically reopened as many as possible. And then the flip side of that is Disney. Obviously with Disney Plus through the release of Mulan, where you could, basically pay the $29.99 for premiere access and watch it until it was going to come out on normal Disney Plus anyway. But their new Pixar offering that was to supposed to be here at the towards the end of the year. Movie is called Soul, and they're basically announced that they're gonna release it directly on Disney Plus, no additional cost in terms of of what you had to pay, say the $29.99.
Probably lesson learned from Mulan.
Yeah, so it's just to me it's a very you don't have to hit on it too long, but it's just one of those unique plays where you can see the effect of,
but with Disney,
the virus.
You've got both sides, right? Because you've got the physical presence of the theme park.
Yeah, and that's that's a whole another.
With getting Disneyland open.
Exactly, yeah. Which is, that's another whole different story. And to me, at some point, right, I go, you go with the adage that, at some point it'll be safe, right, to do that. I guess we kind of have to assume that at least at some point. But you know, the move from, you know, something like Disney not going to the theater, right? Is that something that's going to change, regardless of? I mean, I don't. It's one of those things I don't think you can kind of put back in the box. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out over time. You know, and you know, another kind
here's
of
another here, here's another yeah. change. You know, it's probably like Bill has said, and I agree. You know, a migration from the cities to the suburbs. You know, I'm seeing KB Homes, you know, increasing their dividends as their earnings have increased, and yeah, so you know, it's another probably more of a permanent shift of what's going on, you know, beyond recovery or COVID. You know,
agreed, so. And because in you know, KB Homes is interesting because you know, you got a business like that, right? It's a boom or bust industry, right? You're gonna you know,
cyclical, yeah,
right, certainly, and so. You know, it's surprised. Actually, when I saw that story that they actually, you know, declared increased their dividend, I think it's about 66.7%. Now, I don't know what they used to, you know, I don't know what their dividend yield used to be, if they reduced it up to this point or not. I'd have to go back and look. But in my, you know, in my case, it would be.
Probably you know, 10 years ago they did, but, yeah. you know, they're up to 15 cents a share now.
Right. In my mind, it wouldn't make sense to, you know, I'd stock some cash away in this particular, especially if I was, you know, KB Homes, at least in my head, right? So that tells me they must think things are, you know, strong, and they must think it's going to sustain for a period of time because they know what, you know, what
right.
what's in their pipeline. But, you know, raising their dividend, for it's not one of those things you never want to raise that and then, oh, yeah, 2 quarters later, like, ah, we're going to go back down. So they must have something, you know, in term tells me that
right.
they're very positive on the outlook for housing. So
mm-hmm.
I think I agree with your take on that for sure. In another, a couple other interesting things, Microsoft, and they're all in the news today, but, making work from home a permanent option. There was kind of word of that, you know, I guess what, a week or so ago. So that
right.
just kind of goes and show, you know, there's,
and Google has done the same, right?
Yep.
At least through next year. Yep.
And there's obviously certain, you know, certain positions where, you know, you're going to have to be in the lab and that, you know, that kind of thing. But from a,
sure.
So that's another huge shift, right? I mean, Microsoft has driven a lot of, you know, American, you know, business, you know, corporately, right? And you know, just in terms of the software we use. And so, you know, them going to that tells me that, you know, that could be something more permanent, you know, down the line. Because, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to want to improve their own productivity first, which in turn will, you know, help others outside of the company that they're going to be selling to.
Sure, sure.
So it's... HCA Healthcare, it's a, when I had a financial planning practice in Nashville for 12 years, they're based, we're based right down the street. They're up, big hospital system there, as you can imagine, their, sales increased 5%. That's, you know, the, in terms of reimbursements, that's always a tricky issue, but, top line, as you would imagine, that's, that was a positive number. That's a, obviously another thing from, COVID driven. And you know, last one that's kind of fun, and we actually made a couple of purchases is Yeti. So you know, it looks like Yeti's actually halted because somebody maybe have tipped their quarter three earnings, but they're looking you know, earnings are, you know, going to be strong, and you know, that's kind of one of those stay at home stocks, or you know, or maybe, you know, go camping stocks, right, or go outside stocks that have you know,
yeah.
really boomed.
Right. What about, we didn't mention the AMD purchase of Xilinx yet.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that was...
pretty big deal.
Yeah, that's, you know, we had some big best stocks now in the news today. AMD, yeah, buying
one of our big
Xilinx, $30 billion deal early, you know, as normal. Usually the acquired is going to go down a tiny bit. But good news is what Xilinx is up, you know, when I looked at them earlier, they're up kind of mid-double digits. But that's, you know, I think that's a response to the NVIDIA deal that they made, you know, last quarter. You know, I haven't looked too deep, but I'm not, you know, you never, these big tech deals seem kind of hard to, would seem hard to get pushed through at this point. Because, I mean, this is a $30 billion deal, so it's not small, and neither was the one that NVIDIA is doing, but. It'll be interesting to see how these.
It'll get reviewed for sure.
Yeah,
yep.
From a regulation standpoint. And,
yeah.
No, it might get, I know we're getting close probably to the end of the segment, but an interesting one on the other end, classic, Microsoft, the best stock that's now helped, GameStop, yesterday by, they announced a deal basically a partnership where, you know, where they'll be able to do some online stuff with GameStop will be able to have some online offerings with Microsoft, and Microsoft vice versa will get a data housing deal, so data storage deal in the cloud. So it should. I think there was about over 100% short interest on that, and you know the stock. Wow. I think the stock was up something like 44% yesterday, and that's just because you know shorts had to cover. So interesting, perfect example of a short squeeze there yesterday, but. Well, we're flying through the day, and we'll be back here for the fourth quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. You gotta know where you wanna go, do what you wanna go, live whoever you wanna be. You gotta know where you wanna go, do what you wanna do. And welcome back to the last segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour, getting the final one in here. So we're joined here by Paul Carlson, our fixed income manager and specialist, and also
yes, sir.
Our options guru too. Anything come up in the news here? I didn't see anything big when I glanced at it right at the.
I don't think so. I'm just noticing it could have been probably our stock of the day, but. You know, Goldfield's up 6.25%. That's one of our holdings, GFI.
Yeah, I mean,
and I was just going to look up the current ranking. Yeah, it's
I mean, gold's up 1.85%, and you know, simple math. Everything else being equal, you know, there whatever the debt load is on GFI, right?
And then it's ranked 713
yep.
out so of 5414, and but the PEG ratio, look at that, it's only 0.26. What a value!
Right, wow. And then you know, and then that kind of you know, it's one of those things where it's a you know supply and demand industry, right? To me, it's one of the trickiest of all in terms of modeling. It kind of goes where it wants to.
Having a good day. So just,
you know. Yeah, and you know, in terms of kind of you know, just you know where we're at, and you know, we've been thinking a lot about you know how to position the portfolio, what we think, you know, theme wise, you know, every name we have in there, as you know, and Bill hits on it is you know every name in the portfolio pretty much has a story.
Correct.
You know, we don't always have time to explain every particular reason for everyone, right? But there's, you know, usually a, you know, they either do, you know, something the best in their industry, they do it, you know, best from a competitive advantage standpoint, or they're just in a, you know, a sector that's just on fire and looks to be on fire for a period of time, right? Because we're looking at 5-year price targets, and you know, we talk a lot about stocks on a day-to-day basis, but. You know, we're investing for our clients, looking at it, you know, from the long term. And so, you know, when you're, you know,
correct.
Which kind of keeps us away a lot of times from, you know, investing in those stocks that are, you know, kind of very driven upon, strictly upon supply and demand, which would be very commoditized.
Well, that's a unique combination, right, that we combine, you know, value analysis of the fundamental value, right, with the, you know, momentum technical analysis.
Exactly,
and that's fairly unique in this industry. So,
well, yeah, and that's
you get that in the app. You know, it combines those factors and comes up with the ranking.
Right. Yep. And then you know, and then what we're doing in our job in terms of constructing the portfolio is we're, you know, making those decisions in terms of what you know, which one of those you know after that screen, right? What names fit where and why? And so you know, for instance, you know, holding gold. Not something we do, you know, a lot of.
It's a small,
all the time,
yeah,
right?
A small percentage.
Got,
right.
You know, but owning a couple of miners, you know, has been good for us, and you know, it's also serves as a good hedge too. So it's not necessarily just the underlying business, but it's also kind of the effect that one name can have on the overall, you know, risk profile of the entire portfolio.
So that's right. So we have cash, we have inverse ETFs, and gold, small position, and gold miners. I mean, so that's it.
And sometimes, like I said, you know, each one has a, you know, each one has a purpose, right? And so that's that's kind of the thing there. And from a, you know, from a China standpoint, and our you know, stock of the day is, and is going to be DACO New Energy. I know Bill's been talking about it, and we just wrote it, just got an article published on it yesterday. And
yeah, that was great. Yeah,
it's funny. We, you know, it takes a while to get, you know, do some research and get, you know, to get the story on paper. And, you know, so I think, you know, we've been kind of drafting it for, you know, a few days now. And, you know, I think the stock probably moved like, you know, 12% a day for like the first 2 days while we're writing it. And, you know, I think it's kind of settled in a bit, at least, today and yesterday. But it's a, you know, solar company. So they, you know, they essentially make, you know, they're really the initial, creator of, you know, of the polysilicon that goes into your, you know, your to downstream, paneling.
The ingredients.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, so they're, you know, so literally they are the commodity, right, that input that goes into the, mm-hmm. you know, goes into the, to the whole industry there. So, as you can imagine, the average price, right, of their product, has a huge outside effect on their earnings. And so, you know, they've done a, and so, you know, the solar industry in general has, created many, millionaires and billionaires and took it away from them, you know, just as quickly, right?
Right.
You know, there's a lot of, there's some of those names I'm trying to remember, Sun, was it? I'm trying to, there was a couple of them here that.
Sunrun, First Solar,
If you look at those
First
charts.
First Solar's still around, I believe.
Yeah, they are. I saw, in doing some research for this, I saw that name and it was a blast from the past. But, you know, you look at the chart and you can tell. You look at a business like that, right? And, you know, you can see, the ups and downs. And, you know, right now it's cranking up, and it's because, you know, prices went from, say, $7 or $7.50, right, in the second, you know, late, early second quarter to, you know, now prices are around $11.50, $12. So you do the math, and, you know, you can make an argument for why the stock has gone up. But, the, you know, to us, the good news is it's kind of looks like it's, you know, for the longest time it was the cost-benefit analysis. You know, do I put a solar panel, you know, think of if I could put a solar panel on my house.
Well, it's return on investment.
Exactly. Yeah. It's ROI. And, you know, so for the longest time, it, you know, it was, you know, basically the price of oil, you know, solar, if it went up, solar stocks went up, right? Or alternative energy stocks went up. And, you know, there's been
that's
a big.
That's decoupled now.
It
has.
As
you said in the article. Yeah.
And that's the, you know, I think that's unique from the standpoint of, to us, to me, it makes it a more investable sector, right? Because you're not going to, you know, for our clients, we're trying to avoid those big, you know, certainly the big drawdowns, right? Smooth out that return over time. And, you know, if you look at a chart like, you know, DQ, right, that at least a historical chart probably doesn't always fit there. Now, of course, we're holding it in our emerging growth portfolio and we own a position. So it's fit in that, you know, most risky portfolio. But it also, you know, I think over time, it looks like, you know, looks like they might not be as tied as you know, to oil from the standpoint of
it's a market cap now of $2.6 billion.
Yeah, and you're getting to parity, so that's the other thing. You're getting, you know, your cost parity has come down on solar, right? And so it's not as elastic as it was in the past. So that's good, but very 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 unique things. Like I said, lots of themes going on in the portfolios. And if you want, give us a ring. 855-611-BEST, and you can always give us a send us an email. You can go to the website
GundersonCapital.com.
Have a great day.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
See you soon, Paul.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.